you'll be on the screen also. Gifts in differing measure, hearts of one accord, many for the service, won the sure reward. Forward through the ages, in unbroken love, who the grows the kingdom, reign of love and love. For it we must labor till our faith is sound. Prophets have proclaimed it, martyrs testify. Song is glory, heroes for it die. Forward through the ages, in unbroken love, who the faithful spirit at the call divine. Not alone conquer, not alone we fall. In each loss or trial, lose or triumph all. Bound by God's far purpose, in one living hope, moving on together shining gold. Forward through the ages, in unbroken love, hold our faithful spirit at their call divine.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done great things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud, O people of Zion. God of all generations, almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather in your name in this church and also online to worship you. Thank you for the good health and strength you have given us to get up this morning to see one more day in this world, not because of what we have done, only because of what you have done for us, O God. Help us, Lord, to grow in your love towards you and others every day that you give us. You are the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and we look to you for our strength. We humbly come before you, seeking your presence to bless us here today, O God. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. We adore you. We lift your name up, O God. In everything we do here, in our singing, in our prayers, the meditation of the word, and the Lord's table that we partake today, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. Bless us with your presence. Touch us with your power today before we leave. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Find it on the board, on the TV, and it's in book number 12, page
296.
Right. If you can stand and join us, please do. And Father Lisa, it's a little different timing here.
Responsive reading is taken from Psalm 121. It's written 12 in the bulletin, but it's 121 verses 1 through 8. It's also on the screen. If you are able, please stand and follow the blue for a responsive reading.
I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved. The Lord who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, the one who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not smite you by day.
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It's our prayer time now as we come before God with our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we will bring our prayers of burdens and concerns, share with each other and lift them up to the throne of grace of God, trusting in God's promise that He will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. Some of our regular prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin in those boxes listed there. Please use this as an item for your prayer, regular prayers. Remember these people and these items in your daily prayers. A few things that we wanted to thank God for. We have Gene Barrington back with us after his hip surgery, which is a great recovery. Thanks be to God. If you want to stand as a testimony to God's healing, what a great, after a hip surgery, he's back in about 3 weeks, right? 3 or 4 weeks?
Started off on December 15th.
December 15th, okay. But he had to go back one time to open it back again. Otherwise, he would have been here before. Thanks be to God for that and the great recovery. And like I told you, Jenny Owens, Tim Owens' wife, is doing much better. And also I see Robert back in good shape. And thanks be to God for that. We'll keep you all in our prayers too as we continue our recovery time. And some of the items listed there, I was just talking to about Jeff Woodman. He is doing much better. And also Pam's mom, please keep them in our prayers. Yolanda, I talked to her one time last week and she was doing good. She's back from the hospital, but I don't know today's situation. When is she going to the West Coast? Do you know?
She's got two tests this week to go through.
Oh, so she's still here.
Well,
okay.
She canceled her West Coast trip, right?
Yeah, she didn't make it to
California.
She
canceled the trip. Okay. So I thought she was going back there. Okay. Please keep her in our prayers. And Lou is here with us. Thanks be to God for that. And also Adam, continue to pray for his procedures that he has to do next week. Please remember Melissa Pilcher, also in our prayers for her, some of her personal issues. And also continue to pray for Jean McPrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Basor, Carol Clemens, Jerry Raines, that we have been praying regularly for them. Please continue your prayers for these people. Let us remember our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us behind the scenes to make our life easier every day. Let us remember them and their families in our prayers regularly. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others, that God will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions when they make decisions. Also pray for the world leaders and for world peace, that they will make decisions that will bring peace to this world. And also let us pray for our church, that God has given this opportunity here to serve God, and also all the churches in coming around us, pastors and ministers and many leaders who are working for the spread of gospel in this community. Let us pray for them and remember them. Those are the prayer requests that I have to share. Are there any special prayers or call-outs?
I just want to say I thank God for my little nephew. He had that back surgery, scoliosis. He had to straighten his back out. He's 14, but he come through good, and he's done a lot better.
What's his name?
Ashton. Ashton Thompson.
Also, you all know the story of Nancy Guthrie, Savannah Guthrie's mom. She's been missing 8th day today. Please remember that God will bring close to this, bring it close to this issue, and remember Savannah in our prayers also. It's a very, very bad situation that in our country, after 8 days, that we have no leads. That's really troubling. So let us keep them in our prayers also. Are there any other announcements or prayer requests? We have a lot to thank God for, the many recoveries that we are having. So let us be thankful for that and pray to God. We'll spend a few moments in our silent prayer, and then we'll go to God in a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are much more valuable than they." Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for this time of prayer that you gave us to come before you with our prayers of praises and prayers of concerns. Thank you for the gift of life along with all the joys and blessings that we enjoy in our lives every day. Thank you for giving us the health and strength in our bodies to get up this morning to see one more day in this world that you have blessed us with to be a blessing here. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection even in the midst of our weather situations and different many other things happening around us. You are keeping us safe, Lord, even when we are not aware of it. We come before you with a grateful heart, with many, many blessings, including the recovery of many of our dear ones who have gone through surgeries and procedures and many illnesses. We thank you for your continued mercy for us and for them. We also come before you with our burdens and concerns, O God, because many of us need healing in our bodies. We are broken in many different ways in a broken world as we live here, Lord. Some of us are broken in our spirits and tired. Some of us are broken in our bodies and suffer pain in our bodies in many different ways. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We hope in you, O God, because you are the source of all hope. We come before you for our healing of our dear ones particularly. We thank you for the healing that you have given to many of our dear ones, especially Jean Barrington and Robert, and also the continued recovery for Jeff and Pam's mom, Pam, Lisa's mom, and all those people who have been praying for. Continue to be with them and bless them, and also thank you for the recovery of Jenny Owens. Bless all of them with your gracious presence, O God, and bless them with your peace. We continue to pray for our dear ones who need your healing again, Yolanda and Adam, and Jim McPrayer, Grace, Harry Basil, Carol Clemens, and Jerry Raines. And we also pray for Melissa. Bless all of them with your healing hand and bless them with your peace, Lord. We thank you for your presence in their lives. Continue to bless them with your hope and presence every day. We also pray for Ashton, that his Lou shared, that in his surgery to be with him, and bless him with a good recovery, and bless his family with a peace during this time. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who are working behind the scenes. Especially we pray for the Guthrie family as they are struggling with their mom's disappearance. We pray for your grace and comfort and peace to be with them and to have a closure for this, that we will go for a good news, whatever your will be done, O God. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who are working for us in many different ways. Lord, we pray that you will bless them with your wisdom, that when they make decisions that will bring peace and unity in this country and many good things for the people in this country, O God. We pray for the world leaders also, when they make decisions, they will fear God and bring peace to this world. We pray for our church, that you have given us to do ministry in this community, to be faithful, that we can do your work. We pray for all the churches and pastors and missionaries and ministers in doing your work in many different ways around the world. We pray for your grace upon them. Fill them with your power, O God, and strengthen them with the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will give us the direction as we go forward with your ministry here, to guide us with your Spirit. We pray that you be with us today, Lord, as we take part in our communion today with the Hispanic ministry. We pray a special prayer for them, that you will bless them with your grace, that they can also continue to do the work here in this community among many other problems that they are facing. Bless us today, Lord, in our meditation of the word, that we will be empowered by the power of your word. And also as we take the communion together, that we'll share the love that you have shown to us, not only towards you, but also to each other, and share that cup together in your suffering. Be with us today, Lord. Bless us with your presence. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Doxology. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to give back some of those blessings to you. And we just pray that you bless this offering. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you gave us to experience as life and spirit. As we receive your word, O God, open our hearts with humility and obedience so that we can receive and obey your words as you give us the commands to do. Bless us with your power of your word today, Lord, that we will be strengthened in our faith as we go from this place. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we have missed a couple of Sundays after we were celebrating Christmas and the Epiphany after that. So we continue with the story of that Christmas, which we'll do one more Sunday today, about the life of Jesus as we see after the Christmas celebration. This story that we just hear today is the only story that we know about Jesus between when he was a baby and about 30 years old before he started his ministry. So it's the only story about his boyhood accepted by the early fathers to be part of the Holy Scripture. There are so many other stories out there if you want to search for it. From the first century and second century, there are so many other stories about this. But our forefathers, when they canonized all the scriptures together, they only decided to keep this one story in the scripture because the other stories were all having some other things that does not belong as word of God. So they excluded those stories. And this is the only little glimpse of Jesus when he was 12 years old that we just read here today. from the Gospel of Luke. When Joseph and Mary had done everything, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And that's where Jesus grew up. So Luke is the only one who describes this story, and that is included in the scripture as word of God, as we believe. And Luke was not a disciple, you all know that. And he was not a Jewish person either. He was a Gentile. He's a Greek. So he actually was assigned by the king at the time to write a history. That's how Luke came into the picture. So this is the third party writing about Jesus, which is, you know, something that we have to think about. It is a lot of people sometimes, critics outside of our faith may say that, oh, Matthew was his disciple, John was his disciple, so there's always this bias toward what his divinity is. But Luke was not a disciple, he was not a Jew, but he was trying to get to the bottom of the history of what was going there. He was a historian, basically. And he talked to a lot of different people, including the disciples and the family of Jesus. And he came up with this collection of chapters that we have as Luke's Gospel. And here he mentions briefly about the growth, the childhood growing up of Jesus Christ when he was 12 years old. And what I wanted to share was, I have also preached about this, but they took Jesus to the temple when he was 12 years old. And they go to the temple every year to celebrate the festivals there. And one of the time they took Jesus with them, and they left him there because he wandered away and went into the temple and spent his time there. And his parents came back home on their return home walking. 2 days after that, they found out that Jesus was missing. And I preached about it, missing Jesus. Even though sometimes we think that Jesus is with us, we walk along our journey of life and turn around and see that Jesus is not with us. So we have to always be careful and be diligent to see that, are we walking with God every day, or are we walking away from God? And also, there are people who will say that they were bad parents, because a 12-year-old should have been found at least in a few hours when he was missing, right? Not 2 days. So it is very easy for us to go criticize the parents also. But remember, in those times, they traveled in groups of families. So it's not just two or three people traveling like we do. It is about a collection of people, maybe 20, 30, 50 people from all the families and neighborhood together, gather, and they go on a journey. Because then they go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the festivals. They have to go through a lot of jungle paths. They have to walk all the way up there, several miles. So it is dangerous paths. Sometimes they have to go. Remember, there are probably robbers, wild animals, things like that they may have to encounter. So they go in groups, and they settle, and they sleep at night in the campgrounds and cook their foods and all of that stuff. So it is not about few people, but all the relatives getting together. So the boys will be playing together, girls will be together, and they have like a very nice journey up there and down. So they thought that the boy was with the other boys, or probably was, you know, with other family members. So that's probably natural. But they found out that about 2 days later. So they had to go back to Jerusalem. And you can talk about having a boy of 12 years old missing and finding him somewhere. And the first reaction is, I would be very mad at him, right? That's what they did too. They asked him. Yeah, I don't know what I would have done, but over in India, we usually give him a slap in his back. Here, I don't think you can do that. And I used to grow up, my parents did that. But they didn't do that, apparently. They asked him, you know, why did you do this to us? And he said, don't you know that I have to be in my father's house? That's a very interesting question. Then he asked them. When they asked him a question, he asked him back, why did you search for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? They didn't know what he was saying to them. That's what it says there. Luke is saying that. A Gentile, a non-Jewish people, a historian, is commenting there that they did not understand what he was saying to them. So that's a very, very important part of the story that we need to focus on. What was he saying to them? What was Jesus trying to tell them? Mary and Joseph were his parents, and Joseph was not his father. Holy Spirit was his father, and Mary was his mother. But as parents do, we care for our children. We often assume that God's work belongs only to certain people of certain age or certain class of people. Sometimes we call them the ordained, the pastors, the trained, the theologians, and many, many ways that we look at people. Somewhere along the way, we begin to believe that ministry requires something like a gown or a stole like this or a collar. And that's not what ministry of God is all about. God uses children. God uses older people, young people, even the babies. Out of the mouth of the babies comes God's work. That's what we read in the Psalms. So God's work continues in this world in many different ways. And we have sometimes this picture in our mind that he has to be a pastor who can preach. Each of us is a preacher according to God's kingdom. We can all preach. Preaching is not about theology. It is about sharing our experience, what we learn from the Word of God, and also what we learn from our life experience. So every one of us is a preacher. That's what the Bible teaches also. When Jesus was found in the temple, he was actually trying to get to the root of some of his questions. So he was not there to study some deep theology. So he was there not performing any miracles. He's not correcting the teachers because he knew he had a purpose in this world as the Son of God, his ministry. But he's sitting among them listening and asking questions. That is part of any ministry. It is not about just preaching and making a lot of noise and having all these big ministry revival meetings. They're all good things. But there's also a part in the ministry about sitting down, listening and asking questions. Not only to other people, but also asking questions to God. And there's a lot of things that we don't understand. So the Son of God is not participating. He's participating, but not performing at that point. So the ministry of our faith, as we go through our faith journey, God's work is happening in us, but through our listening, through our studying and spending time with God and other people. So this should encourage us, because most of our lives look far more like sitting and listening than standing and speaking. We need to be aware of the fact that sitting down and listening before God is more important than preaching and teaching. Because God wants us to be quiet before Him, to learn from Him and spend time in the Word of God every day. It is not about who you are, it is about how available you are in the hands of God for God to use His ministry. Moses was tending sheep. David was also tending sheep when God chose both of them for different purposes in God's ministry. Ruth was a simple woman trying to survive, but her faithfulness made her part of God's kingdom. And Mary was an unmarried young girl who didn't know what was happening to her life, but she was available in God's hands. Jesus was, as a boy, even 12 years old, was raised in the faith to be available and obedient to God. That's what happens. So one thing that we are learning from this is that our faith lesson ministry starts from our home. Our home is the first seminary that our children learn about our faith. They learn about our faith through our lives, the parents' lives, our family lives, and our family traditions and things that we are doing every day. When Jesus returned to Nazareth, that's what was happening to him. So there's like a big gap that we find from a baby and then 12 years to about 30 years old, we don't hear anything. The only thing that we hear is about him is about on that verse 51 that says, he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And that's all we read about Jesus. When we teach our children, there's not a lot of teaching and talking that we have to do in our homes. They watch us as parents and older adults. We talk about a lot of this Gen Z and their many behaviors that we may not like. But who are we blaming it on? If they don't go to church, is it because they were trained not to go to church, or is it because we failed in training them to go to church? So we have a responsibility as adults and parents to bring our next generation to the faith. And they will listen only if they see our faith in action in our lives. We have to follow the God's kingdom, His words, and His commands in our lives so that our children can see that. So here Jesus continues to grow in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The good news is that this description of Jesus is the description of every child of God. No matter what our age is, we all will grow and go through a situation of growth in our lives. And we have to be listening and sitting obedient to our older ones and also to the Spirit of God. Jesus returns to Nazareth, a place so ordinary that people later ask them, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's the place that God chose Jesus to grow up, a place of nobody that knew at that time. And also it was about a place that there was no good thing comes out of Nazareth, that people used to say that at that time. Jesus learned a trade to help his father. He worked with his hands properly. He shows up every day at work. If God's work were only about public ministry and preaching, Jesus probably has wasted a lot of time helping his father. But if God's work is about formation, then not a single year was wasted. When we look back our lives, sometimes we think that some of our times were wasted. Remember, no. You may think that it may have been wasted because we probably wasted in many other different ways. But God had formed us through where we are here today by taking us through those situations. So do not regret about the past. No matter what happened in the past, there was a God who formed you through all those experiences. They might have been failures. They might have been something that we could have done better looking back. But it's all about looking back. But here we are today, not to look back in the rear view mirror. You cannot drive forward by looking at the rear view mirror, right?
Amen.
You know where you end up.
Yes.
That is focus forward. That's what Jesus did. There's a ministry waiting for you, no matter where in your life situation you are in. You may be 70 years old or 80 or even 90. You still have a ministry to do in this world. That's why you are here. It's a purpose for us. So look forward. And God will be there helping you, strengthening you. God's work happens when we pray for somebody. When a parent prays for a child. A teacher teaches her students. Or we check in on somebody who is ill. Or somebody is lonely at home and shut in. These are all God's work happening in our lives every day. It is not coming to church and listening to the sermon. Or going to a revival meeting and preaching there. Our ministry of God's kingdom happens in the day-to-day lives, ordinary events of our lives. None of these moments look like a ministry to many times to us, in the traditional sense. There is no spotlight, there is no microphone, there is no speakers or slideshows anywhere. But visiting somebody in a hospital, in a nursing home, sitting down with somebody who is grieving at the death of their dear ones. Those are ministries that are very important that we ask people of God to do. Growth and development happens at home, at nursing homes, at hospitals, at workplace, in our business. Everywhere we are, our ministry happens. Above all, we also note that like I told you, the first seminary, our children learn our faith is in our homes. Proverbs 22, we read that train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Jesus was 12 years old when he was trained to go to the temple. And he was trained to learn some trades that his parents wanted to learn. God's purpose does not mean skipping the ordinary. God's purpose is to keep us going through the ordinary things. And same Jesus who would one day challenge religious leaders first learned how to honor his parents and how to ask questions to the leaders of the church. God is not waiting for us to become extraordinary before using us. Jesus was a little ordinary boy, but God trained him through that place to get where he was the savior of the world. God works in the middle of our ordinary lives to shape us for greater things coming before us. So also another thing that we learn here is about Mary and Joseph had to let Jesus go. Authentic growth always involves letting go. We try to keep them to ourselves. We want our children to be in a certain way, and we have this picture of our children growing up, you know, getting married and have kids, but there's a time that we realize that they are not our children, right? They were given to us to keep. I learned that in a very hard way several times. You call them and they said, you should not be doing this. No, this is our life, Dad, stay away. You will hear that. And now we learn. We learned a lot. So we come to that situation where we have to let them go. Even though Mary always thought that this is my baby. Yes, he's your baby. But he has a ministry here, just like our children have their own lives. Let them go, like an arrow that is shot. We don't have control over it once it's shot. And our children are guided and guarded by the Spirit of God every day, because you are there to pray for them, not to control them.
Amen.
It's what that Mary and Joseph also learned, that part of the ministry, to let your children go, that they will be used by God no matter where they are. You are there to pray for them. Ultimately, we have to make sure that we don't want them to be trained like you. We must try to be, not to be like, we must not try to get them to be like us. Many times that's what we are trying to do, to make them look like us. But no, they want their own life that God has given them to do. Jesus was in the temple that he called his father's home. That is where he belonged, prioritizing his work in this world. He knew exactly what the priority of his life was. And our children will know also, because we are praying for them and we train them up in the faith. And God will reveal to them the purpose of their lives one day. So, growing up in spirituality involves leaving our comfort zone also. Jesus did not feel uncomfortable being away from home. And he considered the temple to be his home, his father's home. So he was more comfortable in the temple than he was at home. So moving to a bigger place, moving to the world out there, is part of our growing up. We all live in many different homes, many different situations. But God is doing the ministry in our life situations every day. Every one of us could name different things in our lives that God has taken us through. But he was shaping us for a greater ministry in this world. Not just only to come to church, but also to be of service to others, spreading his love to the people who are in need in many different ways. So as we meditate on the word today and study the word of God, looking at the boyhood of Jesus Christ, how he grew up as a little boy, remember there's so many things that we can learn from it. It is about listening and asking questions and going through the ordinary moments of our lives. God is shaping us, no matter what age you are at your life, at this situation you are in. You may be 12 years old, you may be 25, you may be 70 or 75, regardless of where you are, God is still shaping us for his ministry in this world every day. And that means God is not just working through others, God is working through you and me. And guess what? God is not finished with us. If there is a life here today to live, God has a plan for us today. So let us remember that. As we come before the table, I invite you all to join this table together, to share the love between each other. Share one table that God has given us together to share. There is a laminated sheet that you can find at the table there. Anybody wants any more? We'll use that for our Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done you wrong. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
God of Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed
comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed, holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, and he broke the bread and gave thanks to you and said to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body broken and given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here today on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in a holy church, all our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Our table is an open table. All are invited to this table, and as we share the Lord's table, and the ushers will guide you to come forward. Let us give thanks to this Holy Communion, the Lord's table that we shared together. The gift of God that came through Jesus Christ, the eternal salvation. He offered us because of his sacrifice on the cross and the death and the resurrection. So let us be thankful for that great gift that God has given us. So let us pray. Eternal and almighty God, merciful and gracious you are. We thank you that you have joined us in this sacrament, uniting us with Christ and with all the faithful ones who have come. We give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. May we remember that we belong to you and that you lead us into the newness of life. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Señor mi Dios, le damos gracias en esta preciosa tarde por ser nuestro Dios. Gracias por lo bueno y lo misericordioso que estés con nosotros. Le damos gracias, mi Dios, por este hermoso tiempo en el cual tomamos la Santa Cena, recordando que un día, mi Dios, la tomaremos delante de su presencia junto con usted. Estamos anunciando, no simplemente, mi Dios, el recibimiento del vino y del pan, sino de su regreso, que un día usted regresará. Por favor, mi Dios, ayúdenos a tener un solo pensamiento y de estar juntos como un solo cuerpo. Nos ponemos en tus manos en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Amén. The closing hymn is I Know Whom I Have Believed. It's page 714 in the blue hymnal, and the Spanish hymnal is 438. If you're able, please stand and join our closing hymn, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Something that I wanted to introduce Furby, who came to the church today and first time in this church. Thanks for being here with Alan, and welcome, and welcome, come back again with us, worship together. It was a good time. Say hi to her on the way out and give her a hug. As we come before God for the benediction, Let us remember that God uses us in many different ways wherever we are. It doesn't have to be in the church. It has to be in our everyday moment of our lives. God works through us regardless of who we are and what we have gone through. But he has a better plan for us every day because he has given us a gift of life in this world, one more day to live. So no matter what stage of situation you are in your life, God has a plan for you and he will use this for his ministry to spread the love of God to others. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.